you are a barbarian.
Every town has an Elm Street.
You know, when family and friends get together, there can also be a lot of drinking and drugging, and that's why it's so important to pick your friends to party, you know what I'm saying.
Meow.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Ghosts and goblins.
Yeah, used to be shithouse.
It's a good change.
Got to catch the red eye.
What did the machines change this time?
They changed something.
You know, I didn't see a black cat. You know, that's when they changed something.
Apparently that deja vu will get you.
I saw a black cat and then another.
I saw a prostitute. She walked by me in the red dress. She asked me if I wanted a dance.
It's a deja vu. Was she a prostitute?
You like that lady in the dress? I can arrange for you two to have a little meeting if you want.
He was ahead of his time.
I hated my father. You know what I mean? He was very...
I wonder if he's proud for the role he played.
I'm sure he is. No, I mean, he's got to be just as proud as what's-his-name saying, damn it, Morpheus, you ain't never going to change.
Well, I mean, Roy Jones is a pretty accomplished light heavyweight boxing champion. I'm just saying.
But of course, your boy here wouldn't know that because... I don't sports.
You don't do sports. You only know about Evander Holyfield.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this? Who is this guy? Clearly, he's not an actor.
I mean, but he delivered those lines flawlessly.
Yep. Yeah. That's what happens. That's what happens when you're just getting
flawless.
When you're going round for round in the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
They still call it the ring?
The Iron Circle.
The Iron Circle. Not to be confused with the man in the Iron Mask.
No.
Okay.
Or the man with the iron fist.
Or the woman with the iron.
Oh, you mean old girl from Maid Marian from Robin Hood.
Right, with a chastity belt.
The chastity belt.
Right. How about that chastity belt?
I don't know why that was hot to me when I was younger, though.
It's because women wearing metal is always hot. Think about Red Sonja. It's hot.
Because when the sheriff... On their wedding night, when he tried to pump her, all you heard was that metal sound.
Clang, clang. Yeah, that's great. It's great.
Men in tights.
Men in tights.
Men in tights.
We're men. We're men in tights.
Nobody can do that. I feel like Taika can do it.
Mm.
I feel like he can pull off what Mel Brooks has done, but. You know,
I think he's gotten close. I think that our flag is death is pretty spot on.
Yeah. And then what we do in the shadows.
What we do in the shadows is definitely spot on. Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think you're close to that. He's close. He's closer to that than anybody else, I think, in our time.
Nobody else is doing it right now. Nobody else is doing like comedy right now. Right?
I'm glad you brought that up. We can come full circle with Men in Tights and Dave Chappelle. You know what I'm saying? Because, as you know, I watched the new special, The Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty poignant. You haven't watched it yet, but I told you how there's a little callback to Killing Them Softly, which is one of his first specials, if not his first. I think it was his first big one that I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
And the media does this thing sometimes, right? Like, I know you're not on the IGs anymore, but I'm on the IG. I'm scrolling through, and the Hollywood Reporter puts it out there that Chappelle's new special dropped. And, of course, they quote him from the special completely out of context. And a bunch of people in the comments, I go to the comments because I want to see what crazy motherfuckers are going to do next. These are all things that you don't miss about social media. And of course, people are like, oh, I don't want to fucking just watch a bully. Or I don't want to watch him hunch down and make fun of people. This is not, you know, everyone just starts shitting on it, right? And I actually chime in. I don't do this. I don't usually chime in the comments. But I say, folks, watch the special before you become dismissive. All right. This man is a once in a lifetime comedic genius. I believe that. I really do wholeheartedly believe he is like a once in a lifetime comedic genius of our time. I mean, for me, he's right up there with Carlin, Pryor. He's prolific. His material is original, and just what he did with Chappelle's Show. I mean, it's unparalleled thus far. You know what I'm saying? In terms of what it did. And I can't stand when like any, whether it's Hollywood Reporter or any outlet, just take something, right? And they take one line out of something, or like maybe it's a line from a bit or a punchline completely out of context. And they just use that for like clickbait to be like, this is what this is about. And everybody is just like following suit without even watching the goddamn thing. People are saying, I'll pass. Oh, I don't want to watch this. Well, watch it first and then make your call. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Where do you stand on all that, sir?
And so how many folks were about to take you to the stake for nail you to the cross for saying that stuff in the comment section?
Actually, I only got one person that kind of fired back, and they were like, I completely agree with you. However, I didn't enjoy the special. I thought it was weakest one. And I was like, all right, fair enough.
Because that is true. I haven't had tears for him since the Showtime special when he had the mustache.
Mm. You talking about Killing Them Softly?
Not Killing Them Softly. It was the I don't know if it's right after Killing Them Softly, but it's his next big stand up that he did, and I think he was in San Fran for that one.
Okay,
I haven't had any like tears since he's been doing these Netflix specials. And even when I went to go see him, I didn't like have like tears. Like he has the stuff is still funny, no doubt, but it's just not like how he used to be. Like he's more aware. He's more, you know, aware of the climate, I guess. And that's what he's banking on right now.
I think some of those Netflix ones are like kind of cerebral, right? Like the right. Sticks and stones, yeah, and he tells the story.
Yeah, he's making you think now.
But this last one harkened back to like his older stuff where he was like straight up telling jokes. And I was laughing. Like I was by myself watching this, like laughing. His setups are just really good. You know, he brings you along a path, kind of like Norm MacDonald would. And he brings you along a path and then he just drops it. You know what I'm saying? I still fucking watch old Norm MacDonald interviews and bits because it still kills me. And he even gives a little shout out to Norm in this special. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of a side tangent because I'm so tired of like just like the machine just spitting out like buzzwords and clickbait shit for people to just kind of jump on. And then everybody jumps on it. Like
I knew that was going to be the first thing that was going to be on anything. Like Variety put it out the first thing. And Dave Chappelle's specials goes right after transgender folks. And I'm like, that's all you got from it?
Yeah, that's just not.
That can't be all you got from it.
That's not. They didn't watch the whole special.
That's the agenda.
That's the agenda. But anyway, I actually got a lot of people supporting what I said. Like, you know, I had some showmanship. And I'm not one to jump on the comment feed like that.
Mm.
But I just felt like something had to be said. I was like, whoa, because it was just like nonstop. And I was like, whoa, hey, guys. Not that Mr. Chappelle needs my support by any means.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
But, you know, I mean, it's art, right? At the end of the day, it's art, you know? And it's just like his acceptance speech when the school wanted to name that theater after him. And he spoke up. Actually, that's on Netflix, too. You can watch that, too, his acceptance speech. And he just basically essentially says, like, I want every artist to be protected to just be an artist, to have free speech. You know, I don't want to live in a world where speech is just canceled because it offends somebody. You know what I mean? And I guess people probably said the same thing about Carlin back in the day or prior, but there wasn't as much of a...
I can't recall that. I mean, granted, like, I was not even thought of, but I can't recall Carlin ever getting backlash.
I'm sure they pissed people off, but there probably just wasn't...
Pissed people off, but not backlash like Chappelle has gotten over the past few years, though.
Well, it probably just wasn't as loud.
And that's social media. That's the downfall of social media.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure people did, but it just wasn't as loud. Like, I feel like now it's...
Carlin made you think. Carlin made you think.
Yeah, 100%.
He hit on the climbing and stuff.
Pryor made you think. I mean, that last special, after he had the... Especially after he had the fire, and he talks about it. I don't know. I mean, and then he ends it with that... what was it? Where he's like,
my thing with Richard, I think Richard promoted love more than anything else.
Mm.
He wanted people to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed, I mean, even back, because Richard went through all the social stuff and, you know, civil rights and all that. And so he wanted people to come together. And that's what I got from it. Like, I don't really remember or ever heard any of Richard's stand-ups being more political like Chappelle has gotten over the last few years.
I don't even mean political. I just mean like just socially, philosophically aware. Like, there was this great Pryor bit at the end where he's doing that voice, and you'll have to forgive me because I already forgot the character's name, but it's like the Mudbone. Mudbone.
Yeah.
And he's doing that voice, and it's at the very end, he goes, "Now you didn't get to decide when you came in this motherfucker, and you damn sure as hell don't get to decide when you leave. So in the meantime, you might as well put some sunshine on your face."
Sunshine on your face.
And that hit home with me. I mean, that speaks, you know, I try to live my life like that, you know? Like, but you don't know
about Coochie.
Well, you could take it that way, or you could take it for like living for the day, you know, carpe diem, you know, living your life, you know.
It's putting cooch on my face.
Well, that's just one of many things that I've misquoted and misrepresented, because I've been in professional settings where I've quoted that again. Well, you might as well put some sunshine on your face,
all right?
Because you don't know when you're going to leave.
Nice.
That might explain some of the funny looks I've received from women in the workplace when they've said that.
Put a nice hot puss on your face.
That's right. That's right up there with we park our cars in the same garage. What do you mean? You know, we think alike. That's not what that means.
I'm gonna have to watch it then. Yeah, I'm trying to watch it. It's better than any Matt Rife special. Rife.
Oh, that guy can go suck a dick. And then some.
He's just a TikTok star, right?
That's what he is. And my wife was ranting, raving about him. And then she wanted me to watch it with her. Then she watched the special and she said, "Oh my God, it was horrible. It wasn't good." But she likes his TikTok stuff.
Right. You can be funny on TikTok, but it takes a different kind of like talent to be, you know, stand up.
It does. Yeah. It's an art, man. It's a craft.
It's an art. That is really an art to be a comedian, stand up comedian.
And that's what I mean. Chappelle's been doing this since he was fucking 16, 17 years old.
He's a motherfucking professional.
In D.C.
Yeah.
Getting up there on those open mics. And he talks about that in this newest special. And I just feel like sometimes some of these guys on the internet, and I'm going to sound like an old fucking fuckity fuck, but some of these guys on the internet, like, that's all that is. Like, you're not going out on stage and performing for like a live crowd.
A live crowd,
working the crowds, and you don't know, like, crafting your bits and like doing callbacks and winding it up so that it all goes back full circle.
Like your Bill Burr, your Hart's, Chappelle, even folks don't like them, Louis C.K. They mm-hmm. paid their dues. Like, these paid are their dues. Professionals,
mm-hmm.
and like they know how to do the crowd. They know how to work it. Like a fucking TikTok star or just putting your shit on Instagram, that shit ain't gonna cut it, because you're not filling a crowd.
Right.
Even a small crowd can bring out a lot.
Right.
And a lot of those guys that think they could transition from Instagram and TikTok to stage, it doesn't work out, because half that shit isn't funny.
Right.
It doesn't work out.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't transcend.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you're right. Stand-up comedy is an art, man. Like, you have to be born with that talent, and a lot of folks just don't have it,
or at least have the time, like to perfect it over time. Like, I saw John Witherspoon in DC in a small DC comedy club years ago, like probably a couple years before he passed, and he just walked out there in his big bright yellow suit and did his fucking thing, like he was just talking to us. It didn't even, like, he was doing bits, but he was just talking. He was just telling stories, like that old style of almost like a Red Fox style, where he was just telling these stories and people are losing their shit, because it's, first of all, it's him. How can you not? And he wasn't even being hokey with it. He wasn't even like quoting Friday, even though like somebody shouted some shit out in the back and they wanted him to say something from Friday and he didn't. And he just told stories. And it was like, we were falling out of our chairs with like laughing. I was like right in the front row in this tiny little smoky club. And that shit, like, and that's John Witherspoon, who's been around. He'd been around for a minute, been in movies, and there he is performing in this small dank club. That's what it's all about. And you got to put that time in, like,
right. And I think it's becoming a lost art at that, because like I said, people think they can get on Instagram and TikTok, and so you get a few funny emojis here and there, and you're like, well, shit, I can do this on stage,
right?
And you can't. You can't. It's different.
Like, what was your first brush in with, like, when did you know when shit was like really funny? Because I didn't grow up watching a lot of stand up, but I grew up watching a lot of like sketch comedy. Like, I grew up watching SNL, and I'd stay up late by myself watching SNL. Like, then, you know, the early Bill Hartman, Dennis Miller days, to all the Adam Sandler and Dana Carvey, Mike Myers and Chris Rock and Chris Farley. Like, I grew up watching that shit. And I'd stay up by myself sometimes to watch the sketches all through like middle school. And that's when I knew. That's when I saw that, I was like, okay, that's fucking comedy. You know, and The State on MTV, of course. Sketch comedy, Kids in the Hall on Comedy Central. What was yours?
I was more stand-up. I'm more stand-up. Like, it started obviously with Bill Cosby himself.
Mm.
That show.
The Dad is Great.
That Dad is Great. And then getting hold to Richard's, the first one. So it was Richard Pryor Live, and then Richard Pryor Sunset Strip, and then transitioning. No, I take it back. It was Eddie Murphy Raw. I saw Raw before I saw Delirious. Mm. And then I got a hold to Richard's stuff. And then, like, once after watching Sunset Strip from Richard, I knew that's fucking comedy.
Mm.
And nobody can do that. And then nobody can do that now. And then you move on to like Bernie Mac and his shit.
He's a comedy.
That's God. That's a comedy god right there. Like Chris Rock, okay, but Chris Rock plays on the audience.
Yeah.
It's funny to a point, but he can play off the audience. And the same way with Martin. Martin can never reproduce You So Crazy.
But Martin was good at being funny on stage and being funny in the movies. Whereas I don't know if, and I love Chris Rock, but I don't know if he was always funny in his movies, as funny as he was on stage or in sketches on SNL. Like when he was doing Luther Campbell on SNL, that shit's funny, man. That shit's funny.
Chris Rock exaggerates his comedy.
Or in what the fuck is a movie with where he's the rapper? Oh shit!
Oh, CP4.
Right, like that's funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know, it was like a spoof. It was a parody. Like, but you're right. Like, I don't know if he was always as funny on stage compared to other people that could. Because Bernie Mac would go in. He was funny in film and TV.
But don't get me wrong. Chris Rock is a hell of a storyteller too.
Yes.
And so that's what he has in his back pocket.
He talks about pouring the tussin in his bones.
Yeah, tussin. Yeah. But man. I mean, when you go back and look at those guys, you can name their big comedy, you know, hits like Chris Rock, Bigger Better. That's a good one. Then with Eddie, you got Raw. And
Eddie pretty much cap out after Raw.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
That was it. Once after the delirious, and then after Raw, he cut that shit out because
he started doing movies. He started doing movies. You can't say the F word anymore.
Yeah. Nope.
Because you go back and watch that Raw. I don't know if it's Raw. It might be both Raw and Delirious. Whichever one. I think it's Raw because he had the red jacket.
Red jacket is Delirious.
Okay. Yeah. So he's strutting his stuff in that red jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And he drops that F-bomb several times throughout his bits. Like, F this, F that. I'm not talking about fuck, ladies and gentlemen. We say fuck on the show. We won't say the other F word. You know which one I'm talking about. And you watch that shit now, and it's like, oh, that hasn't aged as well. But, and I'm going to say it on the show, still laugh a little bit.
I'm always going to laugh at it.
Still laugh a little bit.
I'm always going to laugh at it because now, like I said, and I tell folks, this Beverly Hills Cop now, I just don't think it's going to work the way the way Maverick worked for Tom Cruise, because you're not going to get that 85 Eddie Murphy.
No, you're not.
You're getting 2023 Eddie Murphy.
And not like you got the 85, 86 Tom Cruise, but it served the story because it made sense that he was like almost a fuck up in a way that he hadn't been promoted in rank and he'd stayed in that flight school. Mm-hmm. And it worked in the story that he was over the hill, and they pointed that out. This looks like Eddie Murphy just shows up.
Right.
And he's back in action. He's got the letter jacket, and it's like, why do you have the letter jacket?
Right. Because at this point, and like you said, at this point, something should have advanced for Axel Foley.
Right, something. Right.
He shouldn't still be just a detective.
Although he's got his daughter, right?
I think, was that in the trailer?
Isn't that the plot device that he goes to find his daughter or some shit?
I don't know.
It's good that we're talking about this.
I didn't pay attention to the trailer that much because I was like, this shit is going to suck.
It does look shitty. Right. It does look like it's going to suck.
Because, like I said, and then if you can go back further, because why did some things just work for some characters?
Yes.
Because why did Vengeance work for Die Hard?
Because McClane was even more defeated than he was in the first two Die Hard movies.
Right. And wasn't Bruce a little bit more older?
That's what I'm saying. He was older.
How far are we from Vengeance to Die Harder?
I feel in my mind's eye, even though I know in real time it's probably only a few years, but in my mind's eye, I feel like it's at least a good 10 years.
I thought it was a good 10 years.
Like he's, because he's heavier set. He didn't even try to work out. He's hungover. He's complaining about a headache the entire fucking movie. That's when fucking Jeremy Irons throws in the fucking Tylenol. Keep the bottle, you know? And Samuel Jackson and him worked really well together.
Worked so good.
I don't know. Yeah, it was. You're because, right. That worked.
Because Beverly Hills Cop 3 didn't work as good.
It did.
Because you still got Axel Foley being the same detective. Something should have happened.
But 2 worked really well.
2. Yeah. 1 and 2 is Beverly Hills Cop. 1 and 2 is better.
Why didn't 3? Was 3 too late? Was 3 that they waited too long?
They waited too long.
Kind of like the Lethal Weapon movies, right?
Not like, with 4.
Nah, man. 1 and 2, solid. 3 and 4 starts getting a little weird.
Three, it got weird.
Yeah.
4 was on time, though.
4 with fucking Jet Li.
With Jet Li. You didn't like 4?
I know why you like 4.
Why did I like 4?
Because you love... Anytime somebody introduces martial arts into something.
Because that was my first time seeing fucking Jet Li.
Because you're sold.
I was sold.
It doesn't matter how obnoxious Chris Rock is.
I was like, what is this?
What is this? What is this guy?
And forgive me, any Jet Li fans that are out there. I know Jet Li did 100 more movies before Lethal Weapon, but I did not know who Jet Li was until Lethal Weapon 4.
You didn't know, you didn't care.
I didn't care because I was still on the search for another Bruce Lee.
And we hadn't found it in Jackie Chan yet.
We didn't find it in Jackie. Right.
Why didn't we find it in Jackie? He was
because Jackie was
Was he too silly?
Comedic. He was silly.
Even in Super Cop 1 and 2 are pretty serious.
Oh my god, nothing serious about Super Cop.
No, but in terms of the plot, people are dying.
People are dying, but Jackie wasn't serious.
Yeah, I guess he's not really. Jackie was. But Michelle Yeoh was hot on that bike.
Oh, man. That's prime time, Michelle
Yeoh. Prime time.
That's prime time. Because I think she kind of lost a little bit when she did Tomorrow Never Dies.
I still like her in that shit. I like one of the only things I like about those later Brosnan movies was that all the girls were fly as fuck in those movies. And I know people say that about all the Bond girls, but my favorite Bond girls come from the Brosnan era. Like, I have to say, you got Denise fucking Richards. You got Famke Jensen and GoldenEye squeezing motherfuckers' rib cages. You got
I give you Famke.
You got Halle Berry coming out the water. You know what I'm saying? You got that Michelle Yeoh showing up for a good time.
You probably don't remember it, or you can't recall. It's from, I believe it's from one of the Sean Connery ones, and I think it's from Thunderball. The Bond girl, her name was Domino.
Okay.
Domino. That was, that's, and I can't remember the actress' name, but she was, she is beautiful.
Well, I'll have to go back to the archives then, because the only one I remember that I really fell in love with back in the day was that Grace Jones showing up in that guy's bed.
You didn't like that.
Was it License to Kill? No, it was a.
No, that was a View to a Kill.
View to a Kill, Duran Duran, right?
Yeah. I know my Bonds, man.
I know you do. That's why
I know my Bonds.
So Domino in Thunderball, you think?
In Thunderball.
Okay. Thunderball's on Prime, so I might watch it tonight.
Yeah, they're all on Prime. Yeah, but okay. She's so beautiful. I don't know who that actress was. Mm. But you didn't like that. Who was the, I can't remember her name in Live and Let Die.
It's not that I didn't like them and I have an appreciation for them.
But you're saying the best ones was
my favorite. Brosnan era. My favorite, because I just love that.
And that's, no. They're no.
Because that was right on time for me coming up and, you know, locking my door and being like, I'm busy in here. Mm-hmm. I'm discovering my body. And Denise Richards and Halle Berry coming out that water. And that's before Swordfish, before we got the taste.
Yeah, that was tight.
And that's before Billy Bob Thornton. And that's before that tweet she threw out.
Was it really
X.
before? I thought it was all around the same time.
Billy Bob.
I think she did Monsters Ball before.
No, because Swordfish was the big one. Swordfish broke the internet on the dial-up speed.
No, I'll
put money on it.
Monsters
Swordfish broke the internet first. Then no. Monsters Ball came out and destroyed people's minds. I'm gonna throw it up here. Here we go. That can't be right. They came out the same time, 2001.
Right.
Hold on. So Swordfish came out June 8th.
Okay. The release.
Monsters Ball. This is why we do this podcast.
February 8th, 2002. Monsters Ball.
This says 2001.
I know it says 2001, but it said release date here, February 8th, 2002.
So I was right. So Swordfish came out first in 2001 in June. And everybody's like, oh my God, she's showing her tits. And then she does Monsters Ball in February. Because I remember because that movie came to the theater I was working at. And I was like, what is everyone talking about this movie? And I went in there and I was like, holy shit. Nobody gave a fuck about Heath Ledger dying or Puff Daddy dying.
I forgot all about Heath Ledger in this.
Mm-hmm. No one gave a fuck about that movie. So I worked at the Mall Theater, had four theaters, auditoriums, and they, Triglazer. And we would get like the smaller movies like Idle Hands, SLC Punk. We even got Blair Witch, but we didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. And we got Monsters Ball. I remember like, holy shit.
So you saw it on the big screen.
Well, I didn't see the whole thing. I saw enough of what I needed to see. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go check the temperature in this auditorium real quick while I'm working. Mm. Let me just pull my pants down.
Make me feel good. Make me feel good.
Make me feel real. I'm going to make you feel good.
He made her feel so good, didn't he?
I'm going to make you feel good. He didn't. He stayed in it for a while.
He stayed
harder than what I would have.
He stayed in it and on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was raw. Raw and wrinkly.
Raw, give it to you with no fucking trivia.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, that's the show, kids.
The Brosnan era. Okay. That Fomka. Yeah, she took my breath away when I
was. Come on. You're goddamn right she did. I even like the little mousy chick that was messing around with Nightcrawler in the lab right before they blew it up. What was her name? She was like the little. She took off the glasses and all of a sudden she was a supermodel. And Boris was fucking with her the entire time. That's right, Nightcrawler. Alan Cumming. What the fuck was her name? She was fun,
yeah.
Why wasn't Angelina Jolie a Bond girl back in the day? She would have fit right in. Or Selma Hayek. I'm talking like Gone in 60 Seconds, Angelina. She would have fit right in. I don't know why.
But as a Bond girl, you know, they're
she
more.
She could have been a bad girl.
I can't even remember. Oh, you're talking about like a Michelle Yeoh.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have that poster of every Bond girl.
Is that a poster?
I would love to have that poster.
Somebody make that poster.
Yeah.
Somebody listening to this podcast right now, make that poster, make it happen. I know there's a lot of creative guys that listen to this podcast.
Right.
Find it and send it to us at Comic-Con's headquarters.
Right. and we will pay you nothing.
We will love you and stroke your ego till the night is long and the cows come home wanting another bite of fishy swirl. Okay? Mm. Trust me. It's cold, but it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Fishy swirl.
Is it fishy swirl or is it fishy swirl? This is another one of those things where I'm probably...
This is fishy swirl.
I work for a man named Ra's al Ghul, but my name is Milly Ducat.
A Milly.
Because who talks like that?
And the fact that you had conviction about his name, him saying his name was a Milly.
I have to have conviction because you doubt me and I have to have conviction in the face of doubt.
You know? A Milly Ducat.
It's like Monster's Ball. Monster's Ball came out after Swordfish. I know this. I remember this.
Mm-hmm. You were at the movies.
Because I remember that dial-up internet breaking and people being like, God damn, that's right. I had dial-up in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I remember trying to get to that Halle Berry scene. Somebody had taken a screen cap of it.
You just didn't want to go, I rented it from Netflix.
No, I'm talking about Swordfish when it first came out.
Yeah, both of those. I rented them, both of those from Netflix.
Yeah, but this was like 2001, so Netflix wasn't around yet.
Yeah, I rented it from Netflix.
You could rent from Netflix in 2001?
Right.
No.
Yes.
I didn't think you could rent from Netflix until like mid-2000s. Like 06, 07.
06, 07?
Yeah, because 01, you're thinking, I don't think it was out yet because I was in college and we didn't have any of that shit. Blockbusters were still all the rage. Hollywood Video. You probably rented that shit on fucking VHS or DVD.
I didn't get it from Blockbuster.
Hey, let's look this up. Does anybody know Netflix?
Netflix okay. DVDs. Rental DVDs.
Okay, how long has Netflix been around? When the streaming revolution started? Netflix was started in August of 1997.
Hmm. Because I don't remember. I wouldn't go to Blockbuster just to rent Monster Ball.
But I didn't even know about Netflix until like probably 06, 07 when I started ordering movies in the mail.
Hmm.
And then and then around like 08 or 09 is when they introduced the streaming.
Yeah.
And you could like go through it and it was like, it was probably like, they probably had like 20 movies, you know, and like a few, they probably had more.
What did it look like? Do you remember what it looked like?
It was hard to say because it was through my friend, my roommate's PlayStation 2. He had it, we accessed it through his PlayStation 2. Because remember like that was smart TVs. We're just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought my first smart TV. Well, actually, I still had the same TV in 2011, and it came with Netflix on the TV. And that was like one of the first smart TVs. I bought one of like the first ones, and it was like super overpriced, had 3D capability, Sony. And I was like, oh, it's got Netflix on it. And then they, like a year or two later, they started releasing all these TVs for way cheaper with all the platforms. I was like, God damn it. But yeah, I don't. I remember we'd go through his PlayStation, go through the Netflix, and that's how you could like look at shit on there.
How did I get it?
But I ordered movies in the mail a lot, or like shows in the mail a lot because.
Right,
because
I was. Even when they started the streaming, I was still getting the DVDs
because there was stuff they didn't have.
Right.
Right. That's crazy.
The first Netflix show was.
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. First Netflix original. Did they just pick something up? Lilyhammer. Oh, I remember that now. That's, 2012.
Mm.
That makes sense. That was, what's his name, from Sopranos? The E Street Band bassist.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. And boy, did it fucking pick up quick, didn't it?
I mean, we got to Frank Underwood pretty fast.
And then we got to Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
2014, and we had a fucking Daredevil. The rest was history.
I think Netflix hit its peak when they got that Daredevil shit.
I think you're right.
God, that hallway scene. Till this day.
To this day.
Till this day, that is one of the top scenes in Marvel TV series history.
We don't care.
I haven't seen anything that could top that yet.
We don't care about Echo, even though he's going to be in it.
Right.
You don't
because
care.
It's not going to be the same. It's not because once again, it's taking too long It takes too long to go back to a piece of gold that you just had.
It does.
You know? Like, you had gold, and then you guys canceled that shit because Disney Plus was on its way.
Squandered it.
Granted.
It was falling off a little bit.
Granted, though, that last season of Daredevil was falling off.
Because I feel like the episodes were really long. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
You know? I wasn't really that happy with the Punisher series, how they portrayed Frank
Even though
Castle.
He was perfect for the role.
He's perfect for the role.
But the series.
But the way he plays him, the way they have him play, the way they write him, I don't like it.
You didn't like it?
No. I said it before.
As what? Like the just the war-torn?
Well, it's fine if he has some PTSD, because obviously they had to touch on that, but I thought they were a little heavy-handed with that. Like, for me, it's got to be Frank Castle in the park with his family in a mafia shootout or a gang shootout. If they want to modernize it however they want. And he has to see his family die in front of him, and that triggers him to become fucking stone cold killer out of control. Like, he was already trained to be a stone cold killer, but he had humanity because he had a family. And I think you need to touch on that. Like, he does not meet a young woman and spends the night with her and then take her to a diner the next day with her and her kid. That's not Frank Castle.
That's not Frank Castle. Okay.
Frank Castle is cold. And I'm not saying he can't have a roll in the hay for some gratuitous sex, but then the next day he's gone. You know what I'm saying? And we have to have that. I mean, Thomas Jane even was pretty close to it, you know, at times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that Dolph Lundgren is where it's at. That Dolph Lundgren's always going to take it.
Now, after you told me about it and I went through it, I think Ray Stevenson pulled it off.
Yeah, you're right. Ray Stevenson. Ray Stevenson is a close second for me. It goes Dolph, Ray, Jane.
Dolph is the Punisher to you.
I know it's a hokey movie and people could roll their eyes all they want, but it's a
well, let's say it like this. The movie was hokey, but him as Frank Castle, is
perfect.
That's who Frank Castle is.
You need a big motherfucker with dead eyes who's just talking like this. And when Louis Gossett Jr. is going, come on, Frank, snap out of it. He's like, I'm dead. I've been dead. I'll always be dead. Like, you need, that's fucking Frank Castle. That's Frank Castle. Now, the only thing that can make it better if they do the show, bring it back, or they do a movie, give him that narration. Give him that Punisher War Journal entry number, da 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 da.
Dolph Lundgren read it.
Someone like Dolph Lundgren. I mean, he's a little old now, but get somebody, get that big Reacher motherfucker, Alan Richardson, whatever.
Oh, look at that. He has the build, but his voice throws it off him.
It does. Yeah, he's got to go more gruff with it, especially if they make him play Batman one day.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They could dye his hair. He could be a Bruce, right? He could be a Batman, right? Maybe.
Possibly. I mean, I really don't need to see another Batman. I need to see somebody step in a goddamn Green Lantern suit and show me something.
You're right.
Unless you're talking Terry McGinnis, I'm done with Batman.
Oh, here we go. Well, you're gonna get that Green Lantern show,
right?
You know,
put on a Green Lantern suit and show me something. Or we make this my idea. We make this about the Galaxy Cabbie. You know?
Oh man, how about that Galaxy Cabbie? You want to tell the Kamikazes who this guy is?
Let's talk about the DC's. Is it Galaxy Cabbie or it's not Galaxy Cabbie. Cab Driver, that's his name. Space Cabbie.
Is it just Cab Driver? Hold on.
No, it's Space Cabbie. He has no powers. All he has is this cool ass taxicab space car.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he had. Let's see, he's 5'10".
Space Cabbie. Space Cabbie is his name.
Space Cabbie.
You're right. New Earth.
He was taken in and raised by the militaristic rulers of a planet called Genghis 7. During his youth, the future Cabbie found that he had a natural affinity for flying. and quickly develop skills in piloting and navigation. So I'm saying, like, he's basically a Star-Lord that drives a cab. That's what I see.
But Star-Lord has some cosmic powers from his dad being
celestial. I guess I'm talking about Star-Lord, the personality of a Star.
Sure, sure.
That's what I'm looking for out of this TV show.
Maybe a little bit more mild-mannered.
You want him mild-mannered. So you
he seems a little bit more Jimmy Olsen mild-mannered in the cartoons, and I don't mind that. I don't mind a guy who's just driving a cab. Like, he's voiced by Patton Oswalt in the cartoons that I've seen him. And I like that same. That's a very strong linkage for me, because I feel like a guy who's driving a cab through space, picking up random fares, whether it's Darkseid or Hal Jordan because his ring's not working. Mm-hmm. I think that works. That's funny to me. Mm-hmm. Like, if he was younger, it could be Nathan Fillion, but he's a little older now, so you need someone a little younger. Maybe even
You want that guy to be working, huh? Because all that, you know, that Superfly. What's the name of the show? Starfly?
Serenity. It's okay.
Oh, Serenity.
Well, the show was Firefly, but the movie was Serenity. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm always trying to get him in stuff. You're right. I love Nathan Fillion. Or like a Sam Rockwell, but again, younger. All I know is older actors. Yeah, I'm all for that. That's a million-dollar idea right there.
Right.
Do a space cabbie show, 8 episodes. He picks up different characters. Right. It's a comedy. It's action.
He deals with Lobo here and there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Played by Jason Momoa.
Of course, Jason Momoa.
Yeah, man, I'm in it. I like it.
So you kind of like, I guess you kind of like want a Grant Gustin to play Space Cabbie. That type of mild mannered.
Yes, that works. Yeah. Or a Tom Holland type.
Or Tom Holland. Oh yeah. That can work.
Space right? Cabbie. Like, he shouldn't have that much edge. He's just a guy, he doesn't need
that much edge.
He's just a guy.
He's a hell of a pilot. He's a hell of a pilot.
Hell of a pilot.
Yeah.
Better than Luke. Maybe even better than Anakin.
Nobody's better than Anakin.
Nobody's better than Anakin.
Who's a better pilot, folks? Han Solo or Anakin Skywalker?
Now that, my friend, that might be the question of the ages. Han Solo or Anakin Skywalker? Don't get cocky, kid.
I'm saying Lord Vader is the better pilot.
Now, is Anakin a better pilot than Lord Vader? Or did he become a better pilot?
Anakin is a better pilot than Lord Vader.
Okay, because, I was about to say.
Because Luke fucked him up in that little tunnel.
Mm.
Mm. The Force is strong with this one.
Mm.
Yeah, Anakin is a better pilot than Han Solo.
Who's a better? Who's got a better set of tits, Wonder Woman or Power Girl?
Power Girl.
So this was a real question that came in because I asked the Kamikazes, "What do you Kamikazes want us to talk about in 2024?" And
because her boobs are big, and I just got done with the series again, her boobs are big in Justice League Unlimited, and her boobs are big the way Alex Ross drew her ass.
So I said the same thing you said based on that same intel.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who we're talking about, kids, you googs. But my friend here, clever name or phrase, he said true, but Wonder Woman's are most likely perfect D's compared to Power Girl's mommy milkers.
Power Girl doesn't have milkers. Those motherfuckers sit up.
They are always up. But is that the suit?
Those motherfuckers sit up.
Yeah, see, I feel like they're always pressed up in the suit, so it's hard to tell.
What Diana has milkers.
I don't picture Diana having big ones.
No. Now, who are you picturing? The animated person or the Godot?
Even the animated or the comic, I feel like she's got some good like B cups.
Like, Wonder Woman has thighs.
She's got thighs for days, don't get me wrong. But she ain't no Big Barda. Big Barda's got big ones.
But she's just big.
Well, that's my point. She's big and she's got big ones.
Power Girl is perfect. Power Girl is perfect.
Not disagreeing. I'm just saying if that's the question he's asking and we gotta pick one.
Because Diana isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Diana isn't perfect.
She's close to it, though.
She's close to it, but Shiera looks better than Diana.
Ooh, now for the kamikazes that are not initiated, please explain who Shai is.
Because when John took that mask off of Shiera in the series,
again,
nobody knew Shiera Hall was looking like that.
Please tell him who she is, please. Hawk girl.
Hawk girl. Because for at least all of the first season of Justice League, she kept that mask on.
She did.
And then John Stewart started flirting with her ass. And once they went back to the Watchtower, and she was like, "Oh, John, no." And he took that mask off. He's like, "I'm not afraid."
He really did say it like that. That Phil Lamar dropping that octave.
Phil Lamar.
He made that choice because his voice is not like that in real life.
No.
He made that choice to go real deep.
Right.
Hey, it's John Stewart.
That's a professional.
He is the best of the best, from fucking Mad TV to fucking Futurama.
Right, that's a professional.
He is the man, dude.
He gives Mark and Kevin a run for their money.
I wonder if we could get him on the show. If anybody out there knows Phil Lamar and could get him on the show, we could talk to him.
Because
that's all I would do. I would just ask him about voices for like an hour.
Like, how did you come up with those voices?
Right.
I can't picture Jon Stewart without his voice.
No. And I honestly, like, I love the animated series for pursuing that, because I never saw that in the comics. I love the fact that they were like, you know what? Jon Stewart and Hawkgirl are going to have a thing.
Right.
And I think they even made Wonder Woman more towards Batman than Superman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I kind of liked. That was the first time I'd seen that.
Because I don't like Wonder Woman with Superman. That's just too much power.
It's too easy.
Yeah, that's too easy.
Right.
Yeah.
You want Superman to blow a load through Lois.
Right.
Right.
With her purple eyes.
Hmm. Yeah.
But no. Shit. Hulk Girl gives Diana a run for her money.
That red hair.
That red hair and those green eyes.
Green eyes. A girl with green eyes.
Green eyes. Like creamy jade. Yeah.
Hmm.
So Power Girl for the win.
Power Girl for the win. Okay.
Power Girl for the win. No doubt.
Do you want to hear what else the Comic Con just want us to talk about?
Sure.
Okay. same guy. I might as well get this out of the way.
It's the same guy.
At Clever Name or Phrase, he said, Rebel Moon, what it could have been. We already kind of talked about it on the last show, so I don't want to go too nitty gritty.
It could have been shit, but it turned out to be hot shit.
My friend at Boofer81 hit me up today and he goes, how spoiled are we? I thought Rebel Moon was a fun ride. I thought it was fun.
Are we spoiled? I don't think so. It's just a bad movie.
I agree with that it's bad, but sometimes I joke that we are spoiled in an age where we get so much shit nowadays.
No, you know? But 300 came. Why did 300 work then?
Because one could argue that 300 worked because at the time it came out, there was nothing else really like that. But now we have something coming out every other week is the point. So we're just like,
but look, and you correct me if
I think
wrong.
I think it wouldn't have worked.
Did we not have Gladiator and Troy around that time?
Close enough.
So why did 300 fucking work?
Again, I think we've never seen anything like
but
that.
But it's
before.
like you said last show. He didn't have control over the storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think if he had made Rebel Moon in the 90s, if that movie came out like in the 90s, like not with anything else, I think it might have been viewed differently. But at the same time, the problems with it aren't with what it's about per se, it's how it's executed. It's like the characters, we don't get to know any of those characters.
No.
You know? So what could it have been? It could have been a better developed story. They could have taken the cool imagery and they developed the characters, and we could have been like, oh, cool. Like, I feel where this guy's coming from. I like this guy, or I like this character. I like that chick, you know? Or they could have at least made it, given us some gratuitous nudity.
Right. You know? Even though I've seen hers before, they're not. She's beautiful, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, but you can't fuck with that scene with her and Charlize in Atomic Blonde.
It's bones.
Yeah, but when she's.
It's dry bones.
When Charlize, dry bones.
Anybody know who Dry Bones is from Mario Kart?
Ooh. Email us, comicgodspodcast@gmail.com. At this B Keeks, he says, nerdy shit you're passionate about. So just talk about nerdy shit that you're passionate about in 2024. Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's perfect. Thank you, sir.
Like I said, that the nerdiest thing is I hope that DC listens and come up with a show about Space Cabby.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. That might be the best pitch you've ever had.
That's it right there.
And you've had some pitches.
Because you need something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you still need something to have people connected to the DC universe. What better than, let's go with a whole brand new fucking character.
Right. I mean, you saw how successful Peacemaker was. People are ready for new stories.
New stories.
Fuck the Trinity.
Fuck Batman.
Or the Trinity.
Or the Trinity.
Your precious arsenal. At Ferdbird the Nerd. Karate Kid, The Godfather, Stand By Me, Good Will Hunting, Event Horizon. These are all good movies to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
We can put them on the list. I don't know if I could do The Godfather on this show.
I mean, we can't do The Godfather.
It's a long movie. And
that's a hell of a ride.
And if you do the first one, you got to do the other ones.
You got to do the full trilogy.
Right. And that's a lot of time.
But have you ever seen The Don?
The Don?
The Don. It was a TV series.
About the making?
No.
Hmm.
I don't think it had anything to do with The Godfather, but it was The Don, and it had old boy from Iron Eagle as like one of the lead actors.
Louis Gossett Jr.?
I don't know any black Italian mob figures.
Because he was an Iron Eagle, right?
The lead actor.
Okay. Okay. Oh, the guy, the kid.
Yeah, the kid.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was like The Don, but it came on CBS like back in the 90s.
I didn't. I'm sorry. But now, can I pitch a show where we have a 90s Mr. Gossip Jr. playing a mob boss?
A mob boss? Yeah.
Yeah. And the entire mob is black.
I'm sure that'll work.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it has worked. I mean, there is,
but they have to have Italian accents. That's the catch.
There you go.
They have to do it just like,
hey, I'm walking here.
Like Pryor would do it when Pryor would do the Italian voice.
Look at this kid.
This kid, how you fucking breaking my balls? Yeah. No. Those are all great picks.
Event Horizon, huh?
I love that movie. I've never done it on the show, and it's a solid movie.
That's a whatchamacallit book, right? That's a Carl Sagan book, right?
I don't think so. I think it's a horror movie.
Event Horizon.
Event Horizon is the horror movie with your boy from Jurassic Park, Sam Neill, and he loses his mind because the ship traps a black hole.
Is Ice Cube in that?
Nah, Larry Fishburne.
That is a horror. You're right. That is a horror picture.
It's a horror movie. And I saw that shit in theaters. That shit is dope.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite horror movies.
And the
sci-fi horror. I've never seen all the Karate Kids. I know. Blasphemy.
Actually, I think I have seen all the Karate Kids.
So we could do the trilogy.
You don't want to mess with the next Karate Kid, huh?
Should we just do the next Karate Kid and not the originals just to piss people off?
I think
why
did you do just the next Karate Kid?
All right, I'm putting it on the list.
Just the next Karate Kid.
Sorry, Ferdbird, we're doing it.
That was a fun ride, though, when she did the Karate Kid.
I never saw it, but I like Hilary Swank.
Yeah, Hilary Swank was good.
I like her a lot, actually. I like her choices. She makes good choices.
Mm-hmm.
She makes some weird choices, but I like her choices. She like skyrocketed the fame and did all kind like
that $1 million baby,
right? Wow. But now she does like straight to Tubi movies.
Yes, she does.
You know,
she does. Although she did have that Seduction movie on Netflix, though.
Was that the one with a almost human guy?
Yeah,
I watched that shit with the wife.
Michael Ealy. Yeah,
it's a bad movie. It is not good.
It is not good.
But
she was hot in it.
She was hot in it, right? He fucked her in Vegas, and then she went crazy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was hot, though.
Yeah, because she kind of, I guess because she has that like a little bit of the plain Jane look in her, some of her movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So if she's being bad and tawdry and, you know, slutty, it's kind of like, ooh, the girl next door is having a good time. Mm-hmm. You know? And Michael Ealy's like, well, I'm almost human.
You know, he has those dreamy eyes.
He has dreamy eyes.
Michael Ealy can be my John Stewart, though.
He could be your John Stewart?
He can be my John Stewart.
Hmm. So you want a middle-aged John Stewart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it might work better if they do a older Hal with a younger John.
And John's I don't even think we ought to start with Hal Jordan. I think we ought to just go straight to Kyle Rayner.
No, I want Hal and John together.
You want Hal Jordan. You want crazy.
I want Hal and John. Yeah.
You want that crazy Hal. Okay.
Nathan Fillion is Hal, and then Michael Ealy is Hey, you know he does one hell of a voice for that Hal in those movies. You know it works. That's him voicing Hal in those movies, and you know it works.
Which movie?
Several of them. How he voices Hal Jordan.
He is Hal Jordan. And he is.
And
okay.
You know he sounds great. You know he sounds great.
Right. Okay, he does.
So just bring him in the movie. Fuck it.
Just like Jensen Ackles.
He does a good Batman, yeah.
He does a good Batman.
Who's the other guy that does, like, it's
that Jason, other guy that does Batman, too? I got used to him doing Batman, though.
Jason O'Mara or something, or Mara?
Something like,
Jason O'Mara, I think.
Right, but he's from what movie?
I have no idea.
I just know him from Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
And he played on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There you go.
Jason O'Mara. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
I liked his Batman voice.
It's a good voice.
It was a good transition from Conroy.
It's more centered in here. It's more it like is. This. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as Harvey, you know.
No.
Walk the fuck away. At Tark 89 says West Coast Avengers. I guess someone's been listening to the show because they know I like to bring up a West Coast Avengers. What can I say?
There you go.
The best Avengers. Okay.
The best Avengers. Okay.
You're goddamn right. You got Rhodey in the Iron Man suit.
Not those guys from 1602.
Nope. You got Hawkeye showing up for a good time. You got Tigra. Tigra's hot ass. Not to be confused with Cheetah from the DC comics, but they look alike. They look very much alike.
Oh my God.
Something about a
Tigra.
Something about a furry tiger woman. It's just very hot to me in the tail, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Is it bestiality if they get it on? I don't know. She's a human noise.
Well, you did like what's her name in 84 then, huh? The way she transformed.
Oh yeah, that got me going.
It did. Yeah, I didn't know she can get hot.
Right. It's like when you watch the movie Cats or you see the Broadway play, the musical, and they're in cat costumes, you're like, oh.
Because I did not know she can get hot after all that time she was on Saturday Night Live and stuff. And
she got hot. I mean, they like did
Kristen Wiig.
They did the classic Selena Kyle, Pamela Isley thing where they, you know, give her the big glasses and the frizzy hair.
I would say she did it better than Selena.
Well, no, that's blasphemy. That is blasphemy, sir. Nobody tops my
show. Who did it better? Who had a better transformation to bad bitch? Selena Kyle or Kristen Wiig in WW84?
Selena. 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 That's my name, Maximilians. You're goddamn right. Come on.
I don't think so.
Selena Kyle for the win. Come on.
I don't think so.
When she sits down to get that answer machine after coming back from getting licked by the cats and being thrown out that goddamn window, and then she tears the apartment apart, and we got that.
Yeah, but when Kristen Wiig is ripping off her dress, making it short, she rips off that thing, frizzes up her hair, and then she goes to see the Mandalorian. Mandalorian was taken away.
It's not as epic though. It's just a flash in the pan.
You can't do that. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Don't come down here. Don't come down.
it's not as epic because it was.
I'll say it. You cannot tell me that any bad bitch transformation will ever top Michelle Pfeiffer's Captain.
I think that Kristen Wiig topped
it. Come on, get out of here. The cats are licking her. She comes back into the apartment. She loses it. The Danny Elfman score comes in.
What the cats licking her pussy got to do with anything?
They didn't lick anything down there.
Oh, now you want to keep it PG. So you're telling me all the way she woke up, it was one big orange cat chomping her finger. But no kitty cat was licking her pussy.
You're telling me the movie you saw. You're telling me the movie you saw as a 10, 11 year old boy. There were cats just going down.
No. This is what we were talking about today. You're so naive to think that those cats were just licking on her face and her fingers.
Okay, I'm naive.
Up her skirt.
Okay, so
her pussy.
And so one was a remake.
Write us if you believe a cat licked Michelle Pfeiffer pussy to wake her ass up.
To wake her ass up.
Was Michelle Pfeiffer not busting a nut when she was waking up?
Okay, stop. So now she's coming. Now it's an erotic thing.
The
like
cats ate her pussy.
Her eyes are rolling back in her head.
And then all of a sudden, like you said, Danny Elfman.
Well, then, if that's the case, then you've answered your own question, sir. It's a better transformation.
I made my case.
Because nobody was licking Kristen Wiig's pussy. That's all I'm saying.
She just did it all on her own.
She licked her own pussy.
Right.
To wake herself up. Right. Which would have been hotter then if she's like...
I can't believe this whole time.
This whole time.
on your precious... Selena Kyle, that you're like,
it's not
the cats were licking her pussy.
Because you're trying to ruin a good thing for me. That's a, like, that's a nice, wholesome memory I have of her.
Christmas for you.
I'm 10 years old. I'm seeing that on a big screen. I fell in love with her.
Right.
Don't you tell me that cats were licking her pussy to wake her up from a coma? That's fucked up.
She just fell out of a 50-story window.
How else does she wake up? The next thing you're going to tell me is that she wakes up in a hospital and Buck comes in with the Vaseline.
Right.
You know?
Buck, I'm here to fuck.
Right.
Oh, man. But he did fuck her, didn't he?
He sure did.
He did fuck her.
With the Vaseline,
because she passed right back out.
Now, her cooch dries up like motherfucker, so if that happens, you just put a little bit of this. Oh, God. I like how you had to do the laugh. You had to get that in there.
He got that classic laugh, the water boy guy.
Right. He got in there. Mm-hmm. But Buck didn't get it.
Buck didn't get what?
Well, he got it a few times, but not the last time.
Yeah, he got it a few times because how long was Beatrix in the hospital? She was in the hospital for a minute.
At least 5 years.
Right.
Bill's baby. Remember, Bill, it's your baby. Hmm. And when she sees her, she's like a 4 or 5 year old girl. You know? So you got to imagine.
Yeah, she was out for a minute.
Right. Unless that conquest to like avenge and kill everybody took almost a year. But either way, she was in there for a few years.
I mean, let's play it like that. That conquest had to take at least a year.
It had to, right?
Because she was going from place to place. And I'm guessing it took a lot to find Copperhead first.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I should have been motherfucking Black Mamba.
And once again, folks, we have a show. How would you like to see a show where after Beatrix leaves the hospital, that's when the show takes place? Her journey to find the rest of the Vipers.
Right.
Yeah.
Who does she fight along the way?
Who does she meet
along the way?
Right.
How long did it take her to walk again?
Yeah.
You know? How long was she in that pussy wagon before her big toe moved?
Yeah.
At least a few hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
For her to drive.
Right, because she fell asleep and she started thinking about
Pi Mei?
Lucy Liu.
Oh, yeah, Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
What a movie.
Yeah. What cats? Didn't lick her pussy. I can't believe you wanted to make it PG.
You took it too far from me.
All the things we have said on
of all the things you leave her alone.
I said on this show.
I feel
the
like
one time you're offended is when I say the cats licked Selena
I feel like Egg Shen in Big Trouble, but instead of Jack Burton, I'm like, you leave Selena Kyle alone. You know,
Egg Shen.
You traveled a long way to find me. He's still alive. You know that.
I am the past. Come back to haunt you, Lo Pan.
What won't come back?
Oh man.
At Boofer 81 says, please talk about politics and religion.
All right. Here we go.
And at Alexander Mo says, fuck politics, please. We're going to get enough of that everywhere else.
Because it's coming, folks.
It's coming.
We are a few weeks from those glorious Iowa caucuses.
They are coming. And they are caucusing.
The stage is set.
Ready, set, play.
The stage is set. I know I want to make this country great again.
Yes, I know you do, because apparently it's just been in shambles.
It's in shambles.
And you want to make it great again.
And it's steady shambling.
What is your first order of business, sir, on the docket today? Mm. Oh, caught on the docket today, just my own shit. Sorry.
Bring in Lorraine.
Lorraine comes in.
Hi,
sir. She wanted to see me?
More country, Lorraine. Hence, her name is Lorraine.
Hello, sir. You want?
How you doing, sir?
Can I do it, please? Can we do some role play here?
You're from Virginia. How come you can't do a Southern accent?
Can you let me do it? I was getting ready to whip it up. God damn. All right. So, Lorraine's here to see you, sir.
Send her in.
Hi, sir. You wanted to see me?
Yeah, Lorraine, shut the door behind you. That'll be all, Ken.
All right.
What did your husband tell you last night when you got home late?
He's not my husband yet. He's just my fiance. Actually, we were getting ready to buy a house soon.
Did you get the money in the PCH account?
Yes, I did. That was very generous of you. Thank you so much.
Am I always generous to you, Lorraine?
Oh, God.
Yes, you are. You're so generous. I just don't know what else I to say other than thank you.
Why are you so far away today, Lorraine?
I just feel far away. I just feel like I don't want to bother you. So busy. Nah. You look very nice in your tie today.
Is this the dress he bought you? Where's the dress that I bought you?
I can't wear that at work, sir. It's very revealing.
Lorraine, whose name is on the top of the building?
Your name, sir.
It's my name. My company. My money.
James Powell.
Lorraine, come over here.
Okay.
Open the drawer.
What's in the drawer? Come on, what are we doing? This is getting too real.
Wait a minute. What is happening with you tonight? What is happening with you tonight? What's happened? You're just so PG tonight. What is going on?
I don't know. I feel violated.
What is in the drawer? You know what's in the drawer.
What is it?
It's three dildos. Oh my God. What is happening to you?
Why did you say that so angry? Like you're really mad you didn't get a chance to use them.
Oh my God, it's three dildos.
But you knew that.
Okay.
You knew that today, Lorraine. You knew it's Tuesday.
Sorry. I really don't feel comfortable doing this anymore.
No, I like the red one up my ass today.
Oh, it's up. Oh, it's getting real.
Sir, we have a press junk and getting ready to start in about 10 minutes.
Let them wait.
Oh, my God. Now, is your team immaculate? Because you have to have a really good team.
I have a good team. No one, on my team is going to sell me out.
Mm. And how old is Lorraine?
Huh?
Hmm?
Oh, Lorraine is, she's new intern from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
She joined us back in 2021, and she's only 22 years old.
Engaged to her high school sweetheart.
Engaged to the star of the football team.
But he's back home.
Chet Walters.
Chet Walters is back home.
He works at the local FedEx.
It's not a bad job.
Huh?
It's not a bad job.
But does Chet has his name on top of this building?
No, he doesn't. He's not James Powell.
This shit says Wayne Enterprises.
Okay, Wayne Enterprise. Okay, so your name's Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
Okay. No middle name, just. and Bruce Wayne enjoys a nice red dildo up his ass while he's doing what to Lorraine? What Lorraine is? But we gotta finish.
Now you want to go?
I just want to know how it's gonna end. You know. I tried to interrupt it, and you were like, "Let them wait."
Right. It ends with me pissing on Lorraine's chest.
Mm, that's it, though.
That's it.
After you defiled her.
After I defiled her, yes.
Against her.
And I grab her cheeks like this. And I said,
okay. All right. Again.
I don't think we're going to get Phil Lamar on this show.
Something tells me we're not going to get anybody on this show. Although I'm sure there's people out there, folks that live certain lifestyles that wouldn't mind shedding a little bit of light on their proclivities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we could get. I still really want to try to get the voice cast from that Tar Pixen movie on here. You know, how hard can it be to get Tar Pixen on here?
Can't be that hard,
right?
Probably just as hard as that priest was in that film.
I am going to message Tar Pixen and see if he can, if he'd be willing to come on the show. Hard or not hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that we enjoy his movies and productions so much.
Well, let's not say his movies. We just enjoy that one movie.
I've watched a few of his.
I didn't like the Scooby-Doo one.
I liked it. It did enough. It did enough.
It did enough. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the context.
Yeah, but I feel like that story from that demon one.
It's the best one. It's the masterpiece.
Somebody thought about that one.
I mean, look.
Long and hard.
You love the Jurassic Park movie, right?
Of course.
You love Poltergeist, right?
Not so much.
Okay, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So Tar Pixen is your Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Scooby-Doo is your Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They can't all be winners,
mm-hmm.
right? They can't all make you come.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't all take advantage of a 22-year-old intern who's just trying to get a step up in the world while marrying her high school sweetheart.
Life is tough in Gotham.
Life is tough. We're in Gotham.
Where else would we be?
You're right.
Where else would we be? None of this shit happens in Metropolis.
So does this Bruce become
Batman? Has Lois ever filed sexual harassment charges against Perry? No.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
There have been allegations against Bruce Wayne.
I would imagine Perry's had some allegations against him.
No.
Great Caesar's ghost. What a set of tits.
Not Perry White.
You don't think he's got a great Caesar's ghost? What a set of tits in him?
That Bruce Wayne has so many allegations against him. Mm. That playboy.
He's a real bastard, ain't he?
He's a real bastard. But you know what? for some reason, people end up missing.
Oh, well, they're, like, well, they're
that's
in
power. That's power.
That's power you can't even understand. Bang. You haven't thought about your old butler. Oh, by the way, rest in peace, Tom Wilkinson. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He'll always be remembered as Mr. Falcone.
Falcone.
You know? I got a judge, commissioner. I forgot who else he had in his pocket. Pretty much everyone.
It was a judge at the end.
And a judge. Now that's power you can't buy. You haven't thought it all the way through. And you always fear, but you don't understand. So you want to be that. You want to be Falcone.
I want to be that.
Yeah.
I want to be that. Because look how he was in The Batman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was running shit.
He was running shit then. He was the main man.
Better Falcone was definitely old boy from fucking Lebowski, right? John Turturro.
Yeah, John Turturro, right.
Better Falcone than Wilkinson. Or maybe he just had more to say.
I think he had more to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably he kind of was better. He fit that role.
He did. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Well.
Because he made Bruce shake, you know? And anytime you can shake up Bruce while he's in the suit, you know, you're pretty badass.
It takes a lot to shake Bruce.
Because that's what Bane did. Bane shook Bruce in the suit.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah. Joker didn't do that.
No.
No.
Now, he was never really afraid of Joker.
Right. And he wasn't afraid of Roz either.
And I let that madman blow him straight to hell. You know? Or cheap parlor tricks to disguise your true identity. Mm-hmm. Surely a man who spends his life jumping off rooftops won't begrudge me dual identities. Mm-hmm. With Gotham, we tried a new one. Economics.
You gotta wonder sometimes, why did those villains stay in Gotham, though?
That's your home. That's your home, baby.
That's your home base. Why not, you know, go to, like, Central City or, you know, Fawcett City, you know?
Do you think that the Gotham villains, had they tried to take over Metropolis, that they would have been more successful?
That shit would have shut down. Ain't nobody gonna fuck with Superman like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there was no Superman,
then you have two Gothams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no other hero in Gotham. In Metropolis, there's no other hero.
Do you even need a Batman then? I mean, if you have a Superman,
right? You don't need Superman. Takes care of all of Metropolis.
He could take care of Gotham too, couldn't he?
Unlike Batman. Batman needs a company. He needs a family. He has Robin over in Bloodhaven. He has Nightwing in Bloodhaven. He has his co-worker son working with him.
Mm-hmm.
He has Barbara at the police station.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's no other Robins.
So he has a network.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim on the side doing
his thing. There are no other Robins. It's just Damian. Yep.
You got Red Hood out there helping as well.
Never heard of him. Again, there's just one Robin. His name is Damian.
And I hear that Huntress even works in Gotham City.
So she can come over to the house anytime she wants.
It's a lot of folks that work in Gotham City. Not too many people work in Metropolis.
No, you're right.
Yeah. And a lot of folks work in Central City because the Flash need help.
The Flash does need some help, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Being the fastest man alive, how come you need all this help?
Right.
You can't catch all these guys?
Because Barry can't think as fast, though, as a Batman.
So what would it be like if Batman had Barry's powers?
Oh, then you got that Dark Knight metal then.
Without the evil.
Without the evil?
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. He could just clean house all day, every day.
And he'll just use that speed force.
You think he'd go back?
Out the world.
Yeah, yeah. If you had the speed force and you could go back in time, you could travel through time and space, where would you go?
Away from this universe.
You take anybody with you?
Huh?
Would you take anybody with you?
My daughter.
Okay, that's it. She's safe. You can only take one person with you. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. See you later.
That's it. We're going to try it on, what's the DC? We're going to try it out on Thanagar.
Thanagar, okay.
Yeah.
With no wings, though.
With no wings, right.
Thanagar is the...
Does the wings mess you up when you're making love to Shaira Hall?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, I mean, when she's riding...
Not at
you,
all.
When she's riding you and you put your hand up on those globes and those wings spread out.
And they're big wings.
Oh, they're big wings, yeah.
They're big wings. They're not like, you know, Cupids.
And you're calm. I mean,
These are the same wings from that eagle from Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, yeah, the biggest eagle wings you could possibly imagine opening up.
Right.
And they just wrap around you and you calm.
And you got McLeach hunting you.
McLeach is hunting you, but that's okay. No, Joanna, those are the wrong eggs. Get out of there, Joanna. Those are my eggs.
What's that? What's that his name? Did I just get his name right?
You did. McLeach. You did. And Joanna was the name of the fucking...
She was a monitor lizard. She was a monitor lizard.
Yeah, she was something. And she'd go after those legs.
Love them eggs.
Love those eggs. I said legs.
Hey, oh, yeah.
She'd go after those legs. That fucking goddamn.
She loved those eagle eggs.
George C. Scott, man.
Because what did he have to try and catch that bird? He had that big ass tractor, didn't he?
He had that big ass truck tractor thing. He had traps. He had guns. But he had trapped a whole bunch of animals. Remember, they had to help each other.
A bunch of, that's why I can't remember.
They had to help each other escape. Remember, there was that lizard that used its tail? The lizard that has the head that blows up like a flower?
Oh, right, right.
He had to use his tail to get out of the cage.
They were scared as shit.
They were, yeah. He chained them all up. Yeah, he beat the shit out of them. And then Joanna was after the mates.
Whoo.
So McKeach or McLeach is hunting you.
I thought it was McLeach.
I'm pretty sure you're on the money with that.
Let's see.
Percival C. Oh, come on. You can't give me the goddamn character name. I think McLeach. You have it. Yeah. Percival C. McLeach.
How about that Bob Newhart, though? God.
How about him? And Ava Gabor.
He was a good Bernard.
And that Ava Gabor is that Miss Bianca. I always wanted to see her laid out on the table, you know?
Mm-hmm. Rescuers Down Under.
It's a solid one. Let's talk about it.
This next show. I would love to talk about Rescuers Down Under.
Because it was cutting edge.
He made those eggs look really delicious, though.
It was cutting edge. Remember the graphics? It used CGI. That CGI and animation for the first time.
That was a big-ass eagle.
Mm-hmm. When the camera's going like through the fields in Australia, that shit was legit. Saw that shit on the big screen, baby. That John Candy showed up for a good time.
God, though. 1990,
baby.
Wow.
That's right.
1990. That was a good time for Disney.
Sure it was.
That was a good time for Disney.
One of the best times.
No, Joanna.
No cats were licking Catwoman's pussy. It's ridiculous.
What if Chappelle has said it? Would you have taken some offense to that?
No, never. I didn't take offense when you said it. I just...
You wasn't ready for it. You wasn't ready for your childhood?
Maybe
childhood crush to know that she had her pussy licked by cats?
Sounds like you're hurting me when you say it again. It sounds like you're, you didn't like that? You didn't like that when your sweetheart
was getting their pussy licked by cats.
Like one of the weasels from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. Stop that laughing. One of these days you're going to die laughing.
You know, I just feel.
You didn't like that, huh? When the cats were licking her pussy. What were you doing?
One of these days you're going to die laughing.
Put that poster on the back door.
That's horrible to say to somebody.
He said that.
One of these days you're gonna die laughing.
One of these days you're gonna die laughing.
Because he's getting fed up with them laughing. He's like, you know what happens when you can't stop laughing? So good. Some folks, they don't know. They don't know who
they don't know.
They don't get these references.
They don't know what good films are nowadays.
The train.
You see, folks, that's what I'm. It comes back full circle. Do you think we're gonna be talking about fucking Rebel Moon the way we're talking about Roger Rabbit right now?
Hell to the nah.
Hell no. Hell no. That's how you know that's a good movie.
Which is why
I can quote shit from a fucking 30-year-old movie.
I can quote shit from a fucking sequel to a underrated animated movie about about mice helping people in need, specifically helping children in need.
That's a good movie.
That's one hell of a movie.
There was no memorable lines in this fucking movie, Rebel Moon, aside from the Dreadnought.
Even that wasn't that memorable.
Oh, God.
So, there you have it.
There you have it. That's sometimes, your scale. That's how you measure a good movie.
Sometimes you have to go.
Sometimes we got to do away with these backgrounds so we can see.
I know.
Because I don't know if you just held up a plastic pussy or what. I don't know what that was.
It was my fleshlight.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a Selena Kyle fleshlight.
Before she fell out the building or after she fell out?
After she fell out.
You know, her pussy changes.
It's got the cat pussy.
It's got cat lips.
With little fangs. Stick it out. All right.
Go back. If anything that you learn from this show, folks, is that you need to watch Batman Returns and figure out which cat licked Selina Kyle's pussy to make her bust that nut to wake up.
And figure out if it really was the nut she busted to wake her up. Or if they just gave her their lives to bring her back to life. So you tell me, folks.
Wait a minute. This whole time, you're thinking those cats let her borrow some of their lives.
Yeah,
so because she could wake up.
Yeah, because she became, remember she had the 9 lives. She kept dying.
Five. Six.
Next.
Still alive.
It was 6-7.
Oh, 6-7.
She's like, six girls going to heaven. I think I have one more left. I think I'll save one for next Christmas. Time for a kiss, Maxie boy.
That's how you know it's a
good movie. Oh, come on.
Quoting shit from a 30-year-old movie. That's how you know it's a good movie. You're not going to do this with Rebel Moon. Do you remember what Anthony Hopkins said in this movie?
I think he said something like this. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it right there. Mm-hmm. No, he might have said something like this. It's just fiction.
Joanna?
Oh, Joanna, not your eggs.
If anybody needs to be cheered up, though, just YouTube George C. Scott yelling at anything, especially in Exorcist 3. There's a great, great Exorcist 3 scene where he's just yelling at the nurse. It's fantastic. Just Google that shit and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You want to know what the number one episode of 2023 was for Comic-Con's podcast?
Oh, yeah. Let's figure that out.
It was not the Catwoman busting a nut episode. Although this might be the number one for 2024. But it was Blade.
This is our first show for 2021. 2024.
I like how I'm like, I feel like Muttley.
The Blade episode.
The Blade was number one episode in terms of being shared, in terms of, yeah, all of that. And I got this from our Spotify for Podcasters Wrapped. Okay. You know, they give you a little send off, a little summary of your hits, your misses, your misfortunes. And I just thought that was interesting. You know, Blade of all things, all of 2023, that was the number one episode. That was the most downloaded, the most listened to, the most shared. Kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? People just love Blade, right?
Well, you was right on time with the anniversary of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty big this year for some reason.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
People were talking about it.
Right.
It was trending.
Yeah.
Do you think Catwoman busting a nut to wake herself up will be trending?
Let's hope that's trending.
One can only hope
that big orange cat went up her skirt and licked her coochie.
We have 66% of listeners discovered in 2023.
Oh, new listeners.
That's kind of cool.
All right.
Red Sonja was the episode that brought in 19% of new listeners in 2023. Our Red Sonja episode brought in was 19% of new listeners. That's kind of cool. You know? Let's see. How does it feel to have gone global? Check it out. You were streamed in 10 countries. US is 92% of the streams. No surprise there.
No surprise.
But we have new listeners in Mexico. Right? Interesting, right? So we're going to lose them real quick.
Were they?
Go ahead. No, seriously.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Si, senor. Si.
Were they listening as they were crossing the...
This is the number one stream podcast for immigrants crossing the border.
Illegally.
Your listeners' top podcast genres were TV and film, comedy and sports.
That means sports, of all things. The two times we did sports on this show last year, it hit.
Well, apparently folks that listen to sports podcasts. Because
we birthed Bill Spruce last year.
They also listen to our podcast.
Okay.
And listeners' top music genre was rock, pop, and rap.
Okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wouldn't think anybody listened to Tchaikovsky will be listening to us.
Probably not.
Okay.
Or angry lesbian music. Probably not.
What does that sound like? Like two pieces of carpet rubbing together?
You are fucking on it tonight. I think that's everything. I think that's all I got.
Okay.
Oh, we got a 5.0 rating from Spotify. That's great.
All right. That's five out of what? Five out of five or?
Five out of five, baby.
Okay.
And that's just the Spotify followers, which is 309.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 309 Spotify followers. That doesn't include people listening on Apple or other platforms. That's just the stuff from Spotify.
Okay.
So we're looking at a little over 500 subscribers right now.
All right.
Five and change. Got a little cult following, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that is a small cult. I mean, we could potentially have a small Waco if we wanted to gather our people.
We could have an uprising of sorts.
Yeah.
Right. Or a horrific tragedy that spans out on TV for all the listeners.
I feel like we have enough dedicated listeners to, like, if we wanted to give Kool-Aid out, I think at least 20 of our listeners would go with us.
You think 25 listeners would come with us? Now, what if they were all females and they'd all be our wives? Would that work or no?
I mean, you got to take what you can.
You got to take what you can. I'll take husbands too. Because we're not going to share.
500.
Are we sharing, you and me?
Must everything be a piece of a hand.
Is it 50-50?
You take half, I take half.
All right. I'll get the non-binary ones.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Joanna! They're non-binary. Leave them alone. That's what we have. 2024. Stepping into the new year, feeling our shit, strutting our stuff.
There we go. New revelations. New resolutions. New tribulations.
New transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
New fictions.
Ruined your childhood in one night.
You either ruined it or you forced a young boy to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take the glasses off.
Gotta grow up sometime, Peter.
You gotta get your pussy licked by some alley cats to wake yourself up from a coma.
Right.
If you said anything on the show that made you ponder your existence or question your own morality or mortality, just remember at the end of the day, it is just fiction. Don't take it seriously.